Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting, November the 17th. The time is now 6 p.m.
I do not like indoor cold. I don't like indoor AC. My Verizon truck had no AC. And you know New York in the summertime, it could get 100 degrees. And then I work in Midtown. So with all the cars and then the tar, you know, the tar on the streets and on the buildings, you know, that made it like 115 easy. And I'd be in my truck and it's hot and this van and it's blowing this hot air. I was fine with it.
Thomas?
My partner.
What's going on, man?
I used to lose weight that way. You know, I kept fit.
All right. Is it on?
Yes, there it is.
Okay. It's 6 o'clock. I'm going to start our regular board meeting. We do have a quorum. Can everyone join us for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As a moment of silence. Thank you. We do have a quorum. Commission Hall is running a little late, stuck in that, you know, Lakeland traffic. So he should be here soon, you know. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Do we need to add anything to it, or is everything okay? Do we have approval for the agenda? Okay. Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay. Brenda, you ready? You ready? We have approval for the agenda. Commissioner Robinson
made the motion. I seconded.
Ready for roll call?
Ready.
Sure. Ready.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Okay. Our agenda has been approved. Now we're up to item number 2. Approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held October 20th. Has everyone had a chance to review that? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Present.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
I was here. Okay, we're up to item number 3, public forum. Do we have anyone on for the public forum?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm assuming you all know I'm no longer with LHA. And so I just wanted to come here as a member of the public. Basically, the reason I'm here is that I believe the board deserves full disclosure and not selective presentation. Business activities has been something that has not been presented, or that wasn't presented by me or Ray in the prior months. And it's one of the most significant exposures to financial risk that you have. Both Westlake Management and Development through October, and probably in your September presentation, if it was presented, would show that they are losing money. And why is this important? It's basically because your recovery plan is dependent on Westlake Management making substantial income, basically, to cover excessive COC expenditures and non-federal administrative costs. You know, last meeting, one of the things that they're trying to do with rustic management is bring internally the landscaping. But at that meeting, I think there should have been more questions asked, and the only number that was thrown out was $10,000. I believe, and you can't hold me this, it'd have to be confirmed, but most of the equipment that you have, the trucks, the trailers and everything, I believe were purchased by LHA with federal monies and cannot be used in Westlake Management operations. But again, you would have to confirm that. I heard that from a reliable source, but I don't know if it's true or not, but I would definitely check that out. The recovery plan is basically a self-serving plan to me. It's basically to save, basically highly compensate non-operating personnel and preserve unnecessary structural operating costs. If you go in and you really take a and dig down into operations, you'll find that there's a lot of excess costs. And what ended up happening is they came out of the recovery plan with a break-even budget. And the break-even budget is basically just to cover non-essential cost. And it basically eliminated operating and financial control positions, which is very critical to an operation moving forward. You have to have trust and integrity and operational expertise of what the board should expect from its executive staff. Therefore, they should have been giving you more information with regard to the Republic recovery plan as well as financials. I was here for a month, and I did have an opportunity to review the finances and operating structure and come here with confidence and ensure that with appropriate operational restructuring that and a strategic financial plan, LHA can produce on an average basis, on an annual average basis, approximately $250,000 to $300,000 a year without having to worry about landscaping and all these other things that you're trying to internalize and save costs. Because if you take a look at your landscaping contracts, it only totals about $100,000 a year, I believe. Again, those are some numbers that I've seen. You'd have to confirm them, but I believe that that is a very good number. And $100,000 in profit from Westlake Management is not going to cover your cost of administration and your COCC. The only way LHA is going to go into the future is to be profitable. And if you can generate $350,000 a year of profitability, you will have a future. Break-even budgets are not basically a sustainable type of operating plan for a company of this size. And, second to last, I don't believe in liquidating income-producing properties just to pay back debt. You have properties on your books that you could use, develop, create income down the road. But it's only available if you have capital accumulated in time to go out and develop these properties into a profit entity. Basically, I'm going to leave my resume here for the board. And I have a team that is in place with me at my beck and call. Or if you needed me to be considered for an administrative position, I'll leave it up to the board. My contact information is on the resume. They have it here at the office, and I'd be glad to answer any questions or even entertain an RFP if you are interested in going forward to me in a profitable adventure with LHA. Thank you.
And our second speaker for public forum is Judith Higgins.
I got a question. What do we normally entertain and get some verification on what a speaker says?
Or do we? Normally, public forum has specific rules. Whatever is spoken to about at public forum is supposed to be addressed in writing in your next board package.
Okay, so we will address and respond to whatever he said.
Okay. Supposed to be in your next board package. Okay.
Good to see you, Rick. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Judy Higgins for the Character Place. I was here last month's meeting, and first of all, I'd like to thank Commissioner Pimentel for coming out and looking at the property. But with that being said, I felt intimidated, because the reason why I felt intimidated is because it took you for to bring Ben Stevens, Valerie, and Carlos out on the property. And then when it was there, I mean, they made me feel like what I asked for was what I was not really, you know, telling the truth or something. It took for a commission to bring them. But thanks anyway, because they did take care of everything that I asked for. And I just wanted to thank you for that, because it took that. As long as I've been there and have been putting it out to them, they never paid attention to it. But, and also, I just feel intimidated by Carlos. When I came here the last month to speak, it just seemed like stuff is going up and down. I'm as a resident trying to help the resident. It seemed like I have no pull. Seemed like, you know, they're against whatever I'm doing. It's either there, I'm not doing something right, or either maybe I spoke at the wrong time. And that's just how I feel about the board. I feel about the staff now. But, I mean, I'm here. They put me in a position to try to help the resident. And I just seem like they're not there to help. If they complain, I feel like I haven't stepped into something I should have not stepped into. I mean, I talked to Mr. Stevenson. He gave me some good feedback. And he said he understands some things that I was telling him. But, I mean, as an employee, your employees have to be proficient at all times. You shouldn't have nobody coming telling me how they talk to them, what they say to them, where they're not fixing the work orders or anything. That is not my job. That's the staff job or whoever's in charge. And it's coming back to me, and I'm bringing it to them. Now, my intentions was to step down off the board. I stepped down off the rail. But if I step down, no one else will step up and take that position that's going on out there. So I'm not throwing no stones at nobody. I just feel like for what I'm doing, I'm getting like the attitudes, the nastiness. I mean, it just seemed like they're not on the same side with me. And I'm saying this, and I'm coming here because I'm not going to step down. And if I intimidated anybody for what I'm saying, I'm being me. I mean, they put me to be in this position, and I'm trying to do whatever I can. But I don't need them coming at me other ways and, like, you know, not doing their job professionally. No. I asked them about my FSS. I contacted them today. The girl said she had no idea I was graduating. So I was supposed to get a call. At the time that they probably called, my phone was off until I was out of town, had to come back and pay the bill. But still, no one has contacted me. So I'm just asking, what do I need to do next?
Well, in regards to the FSS, that's them. In regards to the issues at the properties, as like I said before, you can always... They do have their hierarchy. I don't feel that me going out there, because they weren't planning on going out there with me. My plans were going out there myself. They just tagged along with me. So I never told Ben or Val to come out with me, or even Carlos. My plans, and I tend to do that. I'll go to a property and visit on my own. They just tagged along with me. So it wasn't... I didn't get them. I didn't intimidate them to come. I didn't tell them you got to go out there. It was just my, like I told you, Thursday I'd be out there. And I'd go out there any time to see it. If the residents of any property have any issues or anything, and I can be of any assistance, or anyone on this board can be of any assistance, we're available to you. You know, if you feel you're not getting anywhere with the staff, again, we're here for you. You know, you said one of the first things you said is that all the problems were taken care of. That's what we wanted to have done. If they took care of the problems, then, you know, that's what I want. If I went out there, if me going out there and had the problems taken care of, that's fine. That's what we want. If you told me something opposite, you know, you went out there and nothing was taken care of, then that's something I would be concerned about. But you said we went out there and everything was taken care of. Everything was rectified. That, to me, is a positive thing. That's a good thing, because there's a few little things that we saw that needed to be done. And if they had them, did you take care of them quick within the few days that we went out there? Mm-hmm. Was that Ben?
There were two sets of issues, too. Like, for instance, I know security was a big thing with the lights. And I understand if we hadn't had the neighborhood watch meeting out there, when Brenda and I came out, we... Not out there after dark.
Not to cut you off. Mm-hmm. We provide a written response in the board report.
Oh, the last page.
Yes, you do. It should be. I'm sorry.
That's why initially when we responded.
I remember Ms. Hayden on Friday. As I told her, there are some issues. You know, because we was out there, some is going to take some time.
Let's take a look at that. I didn't realize it was in here.
Rick,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, for all commissioners' benefit, this is your process. You can change it if you like. But the reason why public forum is set up in the way it is it gives people an opportunity to say what they want you to hear. And a lot of times, commissioners, in your zeal to want to be responsive, you've heard one side of an issue. This gives staff an opportunity to present their side. And then, after that's been done, which is what you have in your books this time, if you want to ask further questions about it, now you have at least two sides of whatever the story is about.
The norm, if we were to do it like that, when do we get back together again? Go over the things that we have not discussed.
Well, there's a response.
There's a response to
some of your issues that you brought up last. I wasn't here that you brought up last time, I believe. So that response is in there. If you want to talk about that under old business or
I got you. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and the way we have it set up is that whenever there's a public forum and a person speaks or has a question, they get back to us within 48 hours. Pretty much, isn't that? Am I correct? Was it 48 hours? What the response?
That was supposed to be, unless you know, there's something that's going to take some time. And one of the things she brought to me was that she wanted the residents to be advised if it's going to take longer than 48 hours.
Correct. Right.
And I said that was fine. No, we'll do that. And so, I mean, if y'all want to respond, I'll respond verbally now if you want.
And the only reason why I'm even raising this as a caution is this. Once you have a procedure, if you're not going to follow your own procedure, then why have a procedure?
Right.
And the procedure is not about her issue. It's just how to conduct this in an orderly manner so both sides get an opportunity to put forth whatever their issues are. So there always will be a time to discuss it, but it's kind of unfair to tell staff you can't say anything now. You as commissioners don't follow the rules that you put into place.
That's why I said
under old business, since there is a response from the last time you were here, I think that would be the appropriate time for any commissioner to bring up what they like to discuss in that.
It's under other business. That's what it's under. Yeah.
Okay, other business.
I think you answered it, but if something is prevalent and can't take that next meeting, 30 days, who would handle that? How would that be handled?
Normally, when there's an emergency situation.
Well, they just call it, she said something about FSS. I don't know if that's emergency.
That's a valid question. If there's a burning or emergency situation if someone comes to public forum to talk about, one of two things should occur. Either the chair should say, in my opinion, someone from staff will get with you either now or right after the meeting because it's immediate. It needs immediate attention. Right. You just talked about the kind of unwritten 48-hour rule to get with people. So we don't want to have people come and have emergency situations and not be able to have them addressed immediately. But immediately addressing it or a 48-hour doesn't change the fact that staff is supposed to provide a written response
still
to you all anyway to go in your board package. So this is not to not address people's immediate needs. It's a way to have an orderly way to hear people's concerns. You get both sides of whatever the issue is and still be able to ask questions when you want to. But if you do it during public forum, you actually, you're changing the process. And that's why I keep saying, no, don't answer now, because if you have a process, stick with the process. There's still a way for this to be brought up under other business.
Right, that's where it is. Correct.
And just to elaborate, whenever there is an immediate or emergency situation, the staff will always get with the resident. I have not seen a time where the staff has not said, Carlos will meet with you, or I'll speak with you right after the meeting, or they'll get together and they'll discuss it. There's never been a time that something that was urgent that the staff has not spoken with the resident right here.
And I think that's pertinent. It just needs to be said that the staff will get in touch with this person. I don't know if it needs to be admitted that
they always do it.
That's definite that somebody would actually say that, so it'd be admitted.
I agree with your point that you use this to chair or the executive director to say someone will get with you.
Exactly. Okay.
And I think I did mention that in regards to the FSS, the staff will discuss that with you. We couldn't do that, and that's I did mention that. That's something
but
we
I think,
don't
I think Mr.
have.
Robinson would feel comfortable if it was said that someone will discuss your FSS matter with you at the end of the meeting.
Already been addressed. No, we. Okay. No, that's fine.
Okay. So as Mr. Gilmore said, someone from the staff will discuss your FSS with you.
It won't be me.
It won't be him. He costs too much. So we. Okay.
We want somebody knowledgeable.
Hey. Not overpaid, right?
Okay.
We're on to item number four, old business. LHA recovery plan update. Who's doing this? Number four.
The recovery program plan. That's us. That's it.
You go first, sir.
Okay. Commissioner Smith and I have been meeting with the staff on the recovery plan, and we met on. The 23rd. What day did I go to the funeral?
Wednesday, Thursday.
You're not referring to the meeting as a funeral.
You're the 11th Thursday.
Yeah, it was the 11th. Right. Okay. So we.
Thursday to the 13th.
Too many funerals. But yes, we did meet on the 11th. And
on the 13th,
we had an update on the report. The recovery plan was corrected as we asked at the last meeting, and was submitted to HUD on October 23rd. We submitted it, and it'll go through the process at HUD, and we'll hear some resolution as to whether they think it's appropriate, it's not appropriate, we need changes. So they met the requirements that the board had asked them to meet, and it has been submitted. The work on arbor-mounted disposition application, we discussed that. The process it was not on HUD system, if I remember correctly, but it was submitted as part of Carlton Meadows in AMP 1. So they reviewed the application, is in process, and they asked for a letter from the mayor, Mayor Wiggs, to okay the sale, not that we thought it was important, but if that's what was asked for, we'll That certainly is in process. So based on our review, things seem to be moving in the right direction. We're satisfied up to this point of the recovery plan that it has met the requirements, and we're just waiting to hear back from HUD. And we will get an update from the executive director on where we stand with the Arbor Manor and the 10th Street commercial property. And that's basically a summarizing. Commissioner Smith, anything?
No.
Okay, that's the essence of our report.
Okay. When is your next meeting?
We haven't scheduled it yet. It's usually about...
They give me flexibility in scheduling the meetings because I usually, you know, we try to meet at least once a month. And I try to give them at least a couple of days' notice and stuff. So because we got a lot of moving parts. Because one thing with this one, I had to wait on the appraisal to come in for the city 10th Street property, and that came in and that was submitted to HUD. Okay, and that's the one where this has already been approved.
Right, right.
But we just had to do an amendment. You know, been telling HUD Miami that we wanted to sell the property. But they, when they were here for their visit last month, they wanted that appraisal. And so we got that appraisal and we sent it to them because it came in that the appraisal is more than what the offer is, and which, you know, is just the way it is these days.
Came in at 1.8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the offer is at 1.33.
Right.
And we basically have to explain to HUD why we're taking that less than appraised value. That's because it's been advertised for sale for about 5 years. Minimal, no response from the public in terms of interest in buying the property. And so that's what was in that letter. And then with Arbor Manor, we've been getting some questions both from Miami as well as the SAC office regarding the application. There are some... question about the environmental. We may have to do some further work with the environmental, you know, before the application can be approved. And I'll just say there's some confusion with the SAC office understanding the submittal. And I was going to give Mr. Gilmore to call his good friend at the SAC office to add some clarity, which should resolve that. And that's going to be with the sale of the two properties. They're both, you know, proceeding. We're just waiting for feedback from her.
Do we have an estimated time of what we're looking at? Maybe
no one knows. with SAC, traditionally it's been 6 months to a year. And so I would say that's probably safe to say that. And but the one that goes to the Miami office, you know, I don't think it'll take that long because SAC is not involved. But you know, we'll see how that goes. Okay. And
our recovery plan is really the meat of it is right in the sale of those properties on the recovery.
Right,
so
right.
That money is needed to meet our recovery
right.
plan.
Exactly.
So.
And with the recovery plan, as I told the committee. Speaking with our HUD consultant, Ms. Turner, she was saying that there may not be a formal response to the recovery plan in writing.
Right.
But, you know, we still have to comply with it. They're still going to monitor and all that, but they may not necessarily send a letter saying, okay, this plan is approved. They're just going to continue to work with us in the life.
Be a work in process, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And... another thing with the memo, as you all know, the reduction in force that was on the employees, they all took their 45 days and they all accepted the offer and that became effective November 3rd.
On the recovery plan, if
yes,
they're not going to formally say, you know, they accepted it or approved it or anything.
They may, but I just said
if they don't,
uh-huh.
can we send them a letter saying, you know, lack of response indicates to us that it's been approved.
I know to get
since you haven't said no, can we assume that it's been approved?
I don't think the government's
if in 90 days if there's no response, you consider it approved, that regulation?
Well,
or something like that, so.
Well, if I may, I think that's a good plan, Commissioner Smith. I'm not, the wording may be a little different, but
a little rough.
But correspondence back to them,
yeah,
it is an effective strategy with HUD when you don't get
something. Gives you something.
Gives you something to point to. Yeah.
Right.
And there's a way to write it, too.
And I guess we have to wait the appropriate amount of time, too.
I
think it's 90 days, or I can't remember if it's 90 or 45 days, somewhere between there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you can't do it in the next week. You can't do that.
First of the year, we'll start looking into that. Yeah. Okay.
That'd be great task of approval. That'd be awesome.
So I don't owe that money since you didn't tell me anything.
those were the main things in the written update that's in the book. I can let y'all have a question about something else that's in there.
Okay. The reduction in force, how many people was actually did it affect?
It was seven, right?
Seven people?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's something that's separate the package.
Does that get you to the number that you wanted to get to temporarily?
Temporarily.
Yeah, okay.
Those packages are through, or is there any lingering monies that need to be paid out over a period of time?
Yeah, it's going to be paid through the end of the year.
At the end of the year. Mm-hmm. End of this year?
Yes.
And that'll go into effect November 30th.
I'm sorry?
What's the date of effect? You say November
3rd.
November 3rd, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it has happened. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Didn't take long for it to hit the street. When I was in church Sunday, somebody asked me about somebody that had taken the package. The word's out there, you know.
Yeah, I've been getting some questions as well.
Yeah, so we do what we have to do.
Yeah, it's a business decision. Mm-hmm. Business decision. That's, you know, we said many times, we had already cut to the bone, and this, we actually cut bone. Mm-hmm. And so.
Well, I think the positive thing that I try to reinforce is that it was all voluntarily. We didn't force anybody, you know, to take the package, you know. In essence, you know.
Yeah.
It was, we offered the package, and then if it wasn't taken, then other steps may have had to be taken, but right. It was all voluntary to take the package, so we didn't have to go the other route, mm-hmm. which I think is speaks well, that we are conscious about people's, circumstances. So.
And the other option was someone were offered a lower position, wasn't it? A different position?
There was some. Yes, what they had to offer a different position, but again,
they decided to take the package.
Right, yes. Right.
So there are options, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Up to item number 5, new business.
Didn't have any.
We have other business. Let me just see. Yeah, we do. Okay, just want to make sure. Then we're up to number 6, monthly reports. We don't have anyone here to do financial reports and grad updates.
No. We have our filling.
Well, I can give an overview. And one of the things I would like to address is the very first budget, which would be central office call center. Because there were some concerns that were raised during open forum in reference to the budgets not being broken. It is an accurate statement that in prior year we had a budget where we had overruns in central office call center. It is also accurate that in 2013 we actually had a budget where we had overruns. And that is because we had development fees that we had earned in prior years that we were saving as reserves. And those funds were being used to cover any shortfalls in operations, including the central office cost center. But during that time, we were also trying to look at what the deficit was for central office cost centers, develop a recovery plan for addressing how we were going to get to a break-even budget, and ensuring that in 2015 that we would actually be operating in a mechanism where we're only spending what we bring in as income and hopefully get to the point where you're actually back into savings. What you'll see in these financial reports, even if you look at central office cost center, what was approved as a budget year to date
we would have spent $649,000 in our total expenses. What we've actually spent is $493,000. It may not be a lot of savings, but when you look at development activities, you look at central office cost center, you look at the property, and then you take the aggregate, you will see that we are working towards recovering financially and turning things around. And it won't be until 2015 until we can actually start operating and break even. The RIF was key because we had to get down to a certain number of personnel to be able to say these are the salaries that we can afford via the various properties and programs. We also had programs that weren't generating enough cash flow to pay for the salaries, but they had obligations like the 21st Century. When you go into the 2015 budget, we'll strictly be dealing with properties and programs that can pay for themselves. And the fact that we have a break-even budget and are going to be held to that budget will mean that if there's an issue where we have staffing concerns, it won't be that you could be overspending in salaries for 6 months because you won't have the cash to do that. A part of that is in us paying the $1.1 million back from development activities, non-federal, into the public housing program. That money is now restricted. So you have mechanisms in place that weren't in place prior to the recovery plan being developed to address some of the concerns. I know we'll come up with a specific response, but I just wanted to make sure.
Well, not only that, but I think it's important for the board to know that it's very important for staff to work as a team, okay? We gotta each be on the same page and share the same philosophy if this plan is going to work. We all gotta buy into it and work towards that. Because everyone knows we're not out of the woods yet. We're making progress, but there's still a lot of work to be done. It's gonna take a team effort to do that. And we all have to be on the same page in order to achieve that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think from my observation, we're really getting hit with a double whammy. Mm-hmm. We're trying to come up with a budget that is realistic, but at the same time we're under a recovery, which even makes it even that much more difficult to meet a projected budget. So you're almost working against yourselves. You know, we come up with a budget that we say we have to meet, but yet we're under a recovery plan that says we got to cut spending, mm-hmm. and. You know, there's a lot of organizations. I don't know how necessary they work it here in the housing authority, but not necessary to change the budget, but to review the budget, mm-hmm. in 6 months to see really where we are.
Right.
And then so I know HUD doesn't like you to change your budget, mm-hmm. but we internally, mm-hmm. should be looking at a 6 month measure of are we moving, right. in a direction that we're going to meet the budget, mm-hmm. and if we're not, do we have to take other steps? So that by the end of the 12 months, we're closer to where we are, even though there may be some overruns that we don't foresee. Budgets are projections, mm-hmm. and that's something you have to understand. Budgets are only projections on our best estimate, looking into the, mm-hmm. you know, the crystal ball right now. But things can change,
yeah.
and when they change, we have to be aware of it and try, and then to go back and regroup.
Right.
So don't just let it keep going like it happened in the past. We just kept doing things and letting it build up. So when we see it coming, I think that's the value of having your finance team working together as a team, not fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on internally because it's not my business. That, you know, that's your job. But that's what has to happen. They have to work together and come to us with the information that say, you know, we're moving in the right direction, or that we got problems,
right.
and you need to know about it right now. And here's what we're doing. And come in with a plan to show us that you're sensitive to the fact that we're not going to meet the budget unless we do some more drastic things.
Well, and of course, the other thing that's in there that we don't know yet is what the government is going to approve for a HUD budget.
Absolutely.
And how we're going to be funded.
There's so many.
You know, 2 months into the year, we may find out that, you know, we got to redo the whole thing.
That's right.
Because they're not funding it at the level we thought we were going to be funded.
Yeah, too many unknowns.
And we're not going to know that for a while.
You're absolutely right.
The sequestration thing, you know, kicks in, and we don't know how they're going to decide they're going to allocate those monies.
Right.
Coming to another deadline, I hear.
That's right, yeah. So I just want to, you know, I
six
think...
6 months is probably going to be too long.
Maybe a quarter.
We may have to look at it. Well, that's what the internal team has got to come up with, you know.
And I think, you know, it's probably going to be minimum quarterly.
Quarterly is
still in recovery.
Right.
And we have to,
yeah,
like
we
could know. You know, we've got to anticipate a lot of things. Because, like, there's a lot of things that are in the recovery plan that we feel comfortable about, but they're not guaranteed.
Right.
And so, as you said, we got to constantly monitor until we get out of this hole.
So
that's fine.
Quarterly monitoring would be best because that would give us... We get to review it.
Daily monitoring, but quarterly update.
There you go. That's what we like to hear.
I like that. There you go.
You're saying the right things, man. Just make it happen. That's good. Thank you for the explanation.
Are there some specific questions that the board members had in reference to the financial package?
No.
Well, I had some, but I think I got most of my questions answered. So.
Right, yeah. And I kind of looked at them. I didn't see anything that jumped off the page.
No.
So.
Yeah, I didn't see anything that really bit me. No, it just, I had a question, and I know it's a month late because I did not able to make it last month. I had to ask a question, and this was in September's board meeting. And it was a question about our cash flow and were we bleeding anymore? And the question was that the information the board had received was incorrect since October 2013. So I didn't know if we were going to receive corrected numbers to actually show we haven't been pulling out our cash, which I see we have on paper, but I was responded to very strongly that information was wrong the board had received. And since October 2013, we haven't been bleeding any.
We're going to be constantly bleeding, but I think what we are looking at...
That was not your response, though. That was not your response.
May I give you an updated response?
Well, no, I mean, I just want to make sure when you corrected me that day, that was not your response.
I'm not agreeing. Can I respond?
You sure can.
Okay. One of the things that we had in there was, like I said, that $1.5 million, okay, because the concern was that are we dipping into that to basically keep the agency afloat?
Right.
And you saw that that had not changed, okay? So that showed that even though they were still bleeding, it was not as much as it was in the past, okay? And I'll let Riley give an additional explanation on that, but... Because that's what we were doing to try to show that we were reducing the amount of expenses and all of that. And as I said, we're not out of the woods yet. Okay?
Understand. And I think we made some great progress, though.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to sit there and try to say we won't be able to find some issues with it. We all know there's some that's still...
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's why I was so surprised by that answer, and it actually has bothered me since that meeting.
Right.
I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you, Ben, because I was like, that's not what I saw.
No, the point was that, like I said, the 1.5 was staying there, because I think the gist of your question was that were we dipping into those reserves to keep everything going afloat? And we showed that 1.5 has stayed the same for several months. So that showed that we were not doing the same that we had been doing in the past.
And I knew we had corrected. Right. And but the part that
we hadn't corrected everything, because we still corrected.
No, I mean, I know we had made improvements. But, I mean, the part that sort of threw me off, and you actually said it was since October 2013 we haven't. And I just hadn't seen that. That's why I was wondering if we were going to get a revision.
I think the problem is in that the fact that you're getting the financials a year late. The 2014 audited financials are not due to HUD until September of 2015. And part of it, if you look at the FDS, what you were looking at is we had talked about the due to public housing. It wasn't going to be more than $4.9 million. It was actually $4.3 million. And what had happened with that at the end of 2013 is that there were some reimbursables that were coming back from our grants. If you go to the grants reports, capital fund program, there was actually like $300,000 in CFP funds that the Lakeland Housing Authority had done capital improvements at various properties, spent the money out of cash on hand, and was waiting to get it reimbursed. And you short-staffed it. Finance didn't have an opportunity to draw down that money from LOPS before the year ends, so what ends up happening, now you're into the new year. Even though you received the money, you received it in 2014, that doesn't go in the financials. So even though we've been reimbursed the money, it's not going to show up in these financial statements that Berman Hopkins made for 2013 because we didn't actually get the reimbursable the same year that the expense was incurred. So we're doing lessons learned from last year. No matter how short-staffed that we are, we know our top priority is that if we have money that we've spent out of cash on hand, we have to work immediately within those 30, 60 days to get that money reimbursed. And then we're working to, as we get the third-party fee accountant, to be in a position where we don't even spend the money, even if we have a contract, until we actually draw down the money from locks, because we have 3 to 5 days to actually pay the invoice after receiving the money. So we're having to change the way we do business, but that's part of why you saw the numbers going back up. But as far as going from cash on hand, there was a withdrawal made in December of 2012 for $200,000. Then in January of 2013. Then there was January of 2014. There was another $250,000 that was pulled out of the development entity to actually seed COCC, because that was one of the audit findings that you had all the money combined in one account. They wanted to make sure that COCC had its own account, so you knew specifically that only money that was coming back from fees that were allowable to pay for COCC costs was being used to fund that. So those are the two big withdrawals that you saw from the cash on hand.
So that made it look like we were using cash on hand to fund. Yeah.
Well, we actually were.
And so now what's happening is when you're going through your biggest expense, which would be payroll, everyone knows what their staffing levels are like. They know that at the beginning of the month, they have to ensure that all the fees that are owed to COCC are drawn down from Section 8 admin, VASH, management fees to Westlake Management. You get that money, you put it in the COCC account, pay the salaries. What was happening before, we had that cushion of, oh, we have money in the development entity, we'll just pay it. Out of that, we'll get reimbursed. And what happened is you get busy, you don't get reimbursed, and then staff change. And it's not until you're really audited in books that you realize, oh, I got to go back and get $300,000 from HUD, from CFP. So it's been some tough lessons learned, but I believe that we've learned them, and we know that there's nothing more important than making sure that we get our money first, and that we'll be responsible and make sure we draw down the money before we pay vendors.
Mm-hmm. Valerie, I'd ask you a couple of questions about the accounts receivable from the 21st Century, from the Department of Education, and from the Youth Build. I guess one of them we're expecting, you know, within 30 days, the Youth Build money and the Department of Education money will be when the grants close out.
Right, and I need to check to see if that hit the account, because I don't know off the top of my hand.
And then on the other side, on the liability side, you know, we're showing like the $24,000 liability in workers' comp and $23,000 in 403 plan payable. Payroll taxes, another $24,000. We've got $52,000 in the bank. And we've got the payables. We're going to have to get our receivables. And we can't put off paying the payroll taxes.
Right.
Been there. That's too painful.
You can't get behind on that.
Can I venture to oversimplify?
Sure.
Because again, this has come up before, and I think the way to kind of have a lot of explanation, but I think, and it may be too simple to say a miscommunication that has lingered since October 2013, but I've heard two different versions. One is you heard from Ben that we were no longer bleeding. I'm going to use that term. And what I heard Ben say is, no, he wasn't trying to mislead you. It was we weren't dipping into the $1.5 million at that time. And I think that's where the miscommunication occurred. I think everybody said
up to this point, we have continued to be bleeding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
So sometimes, no, but I think that sometimes we got to pay attention to semantics,
mm-hmm.
because semantics are important when you're in a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So if nothing else, I think there's more attention being paid to semantics at this point. So I don't think it was I don't think it's an attempt to mislead. I think it was just he was saying one thing and you were listening for what you wanted to be assured of, and we all now know that the bleeding was going on.
I read it because actually in the meeting,
right.
Commissioner Richards actually then brought up we're bleeding, but we're at a slower, you know, and
right.
hopefully it's going. And I'm like, well, I just was told we weren't bleeding. We hadn't bled since October 2013, and I'm like very confused.
Yeah,
I was just
I think it had more to do with dipping. There was no dipping.
We're still bleeding, but we
were
like
questioning.
My question, I believe, was
said. And let me just make something
clear.
When it comes to development activities, you can completely shut down the development department. You can have no staff, but you're still going to have costs because you have properties that have a compliance period for 15 years, and you're obligated to meet those requirements. Until you get out of the 15-year period, and if you look at Bartow is what, in year 3 or 4?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a ways to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we had a loan, because at one point in time, we were being progressive. We were acquiring properties like the 4.33-acre site at Williamstown. It doesn't have a DOT on it. Its note has to be paid with non-federal funds. So until we get a new development deals going with new income, that note has to be paid for with cash on hand, because we cannot use federal money to pay it.
Right.
So we will have to dip to cover that note. 2015 may not have any salaries. It may be that we have all of staff allocated to a property or program, or their salaries being paid out of fees that are generated that can go into COCC. But that note is nothing I can do about, because until the balloon, either we pay it off, or we wait till the balloon payment comes to due. And so we will have to go to property 29 to pay that until we get new fees. So I just want to say that, so everyone's
clear. I never thought we had quit bleeding. I mean, that was my whole thought. And then you did respond a little bit later.
That same meeting. My words, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to make that clear.
Okay.
Again,
that's misinterpretation.
That's a miscommunication.
Yeah. It was miscommunication.
Nowadays, we got bleeding and dipping.
Yeah.
it was my lack of communication effectively,
yeah.
And lack of understanding his response.
I think there was a lot of lack of. Now
we're bleeding, but we got a transfusion coming from somewhere.
Yeah. So just my confusion.
No funeral, not yet.
But you know, I think one thing will be very important. This is what I'm going to say, because I think communication is the key.
Right.
I think when we are in situations, I think sometimes we've been had a tendency over the last year to maybe present an answer that may be more tolerable to swallow to the board. Then actually, that it could have been actually, I think, giving us the medicine without the sugar in it might have been more appropriate than try to sugar it a little bit, because I do think some of the information had been a little sanitized to make it more tolerable for us to accept over the last year. You know, but I think we're at a point right now when we have bad medicine, we need to take it.
Yep.
And we need to understand it so we can set a course of action to get us where we need to go. And I think that's everybody's goal in this room.
I think y'all all have had plenty of doses of castor oil.
That's right.
So you can take it.
That's right. Just pour your nose up.
I think we're a more knowledgeable board at this time, that we are prepared to deal with things better than what we were in the past.
Right.
Speaking knowledge-wise, I've been on the board, 3 years now? And I've learned a lot, and I think that we're in a better position now to make a better decision.
I'd like to go back to something that Ben said and expand it a little bit. He talked about the fact that staff has to be on the same page and work together. Staff and the board have to be on the same page and work together. That's why communication is going to be essential.
that you all understand.
Yeah.
And right now, I actually believe you understand where you are, what you're trying to do to recover. So there is that kind of communication. But semantics sometimes can be extremely important.
Like Commissioner Sessor was saying, we need to not sugarcoat. We need straight talk, and so we know exactly where we are.
That's right. Yeah.
Not where we wish we were.
We can handle it, so bring it to us.
Because ultimately, we're responsible.
That's right. That's right.
We
That's
need right. to know.
Well, before closing the finance report, I want to bring you to the grant report.
Did you say foreclosure?
Before closing. Not foreclosure. Before closing.
See what I mean about semantics, right?
Yeah. You
can come back a year from now saying, you said we were in foreclosure.
You see that there's what we call the replacement housing factor fund, and we have an obligation end date. The earliest one is September 2015. And then you still got this Hope 6 money, the $1.9 million. And when you look at the two of that, you're at a good $3.6-3.7 million. We are in the process of finishing up environmental reviews at the sites because the environmentals for the properties, HUD wants you to update them every 5 years to make sure there's no unforeseen conditions. We had to update several properties this year. I cannot draw down funds from LOCS until those environmentals are submitted and approved. We did receive the environmentals this week. We're reviewing them. They'll have to be submitted to HUD. Once HUD approves those environmentals, then we can actually obligate and expend the money. Mm-hmm. So you should see very shortly that money is being obligated and expended on these grants. Mm-hmm. So that's something to watch out for on the grants report while you're doing your monitoring. But I wanted you to understand why we hadn't moved forward in some of the obligations. We had another step we had to do.
In the cash flows on Colton Meadows and on Bonnet Shore, where we had the big reductions this month. Mm-hmm. That was a repayment of developer fees, is that what it was?
Yes.
Okay. Who did we pay those to? Did we get some of that money, or did that all go to
We got
else?
For Polk County Housing Developers. Okay. We did receive developer fees for Colton and Bonnet. Bonnet specifically received $128,000. But there's also a due to the partnership of $112,000 that's going to have to be paid back. So you're not going to get all of that $128,000 because $112,000 has got to go back to the partnership. But for Colton, everything that we withdrew in developer fees was actually retained.
So we sort of has income and then as an expense, or what's that showing?
Well, because it's deferred fees, the income has already been, it was reported on the books in 2010, 2011.
Right.
These are just now at an opportunity where you could collect them. You've gone through milestones or you've gotten the cash to the waterfall to collect it. So even though development, you're seeing that we're getting cash, it doesn't count as income because you already reported as income.
Before we received it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Basically.
Unfortunately, that's how development works.
Right. So the accountant received it like that too then?
Yeah,
you mean our external?
Right.
Yeah. Which is why developers, if you have a development company, you're always living off cash on hand because you have to have deals going and closing every year to actually generate new cash.
But my question is, so the accountant's shown on the books that we received the money even though we did not?
Yes, mm-hmm. They have to show it. If you meet a milestone, for instance, the milestone may be that you have stabilized occupancy, okay? And then the investor make a payment of X million dollars and you can get, let's say, $500,000 developer fees. Despite the fact that you can actually get it, even though the closing documents may read that, Westlake Management is a new management company and they don't have experience managing tax credit properties, so we don't necessarily want them to have the full $500,000 at one time. We want them to put some in the operating reserve. Even though there may be language in the document that read that you will have to have a debt coverage ratio of 1.15 for 24 consecutive months, the minute that you reach stabilized occupancy, that $500,000 is reported as a fee because you received it. you received the $500,000 in fees, but then you had to give it back in reserve. So that's why it's already on the books. I know in our minds, it's like, well, if I only held it for 5 seconds for it to go into wire transfer, I really didn't get it, but you did. You're just required to do something additional because you don't have experience. And that's what's happened to this agency. You had a new development company and a new management company, and the investors have made us put our fees into the deal to make sure we're motivated to meet the milestones and get them through the compliance period so they don't have to pay back the tax credits from the IRS. Because if we make one mistake, they could actually, if they find a mistake in the files, they could actually, IRS could recapture their tax credit for the whole period. So that's why, you know, they go for blood.
Good. Thank you.
I'm sure it's still Val with the housing report.
It's Carlos.
No.
It's Carlos.
I know I'm uglier, but...
Oh, it's Carlos.
You don't have to agree. Anyway, report as written. I don't have any major announcement. This month, though, we had Lake Bonnie was inspected by the investors. They inspected the files and some units. She went through the files. Everything was perfect. She was supposed to enter 15 units. After she was done with 5, she said, oh, everything is perfect, so I'm just leaving. You know, I don't need to see anything else.
But the 112.
But
the 112.
Yeah, she wanted the money. But with Dakota, in addition of everything that the residents wanted us to do, we actually painted most of the walls again. We are planting trees. We're also creating planters, you know, in front of every unit with timber. We put sand on the playground, so it's softer for somebody, you know, is afraid of falling. We pressure wash all the sidewalks, all the buildings. We're installing new security lights, so everything is in progress. So, so the property is actually looking good. Today we had a surprise inspector too, and he was very pleased with the property. He's been coming to the property for the past 5-6 years. He said this is the best look. Yeah. So I was happy with that too. It only took like 45 minutes for him to inspect everything and leave, so which is a, you know, good sign. And other than that, everything is going good. The only thing that I want to clarify, I have never harassed a resident. I will never do that. For me, residents are, you know, first, and then buildings and assets, because that would allow them to have a roof on their head. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Up to development, there's nothing, right?
Well, no, I have highlights, because you're going to ask me about the money on the financial side. So if you go to the mixed finance development on page 3 of your report, you'll see the taxes have come in because it's November. And as long as we pay the taxes before the end of this month, we can get a 4% discount. But you'll see that you're going to have large amounts of money that's been budgeted for coming out of the property for Bonnet Shores and Colton Meadows. West Bartow, because of the senior facility, we actually can get the homestead exemption of the individual residents. So what happens is the last week in December, we go and have them fill out the form. We turn those in January, and that's why you see the tax bill for West Bartow being so low. Williamstown doesn't have a tax bill because they see that as being Lakeland Housing Authority property, but Auburn Manor has a small one, because they see that as being part of a partnership. So those are the things to expect to look for coming out of our cash for the upcoming month. The other item is, I think is important because it affects the residents, is that we did resume the neighborhood watch meetings for Dakota Park. Part of, you know, we've lost a lot of staff. and Cassandra Davis had actually been part of LPD, Citizen Patrol, and she'd gone out and she'd worked to get Neighborhood Watch. But when Cassandra left, some of those programs, you know, didn't get transferred to everybody else. And then Shauna was actually responsible for the Neighborhood Watch at the homeownership units, Lake Ridge Homes. And so we have circled around and got things reassigned to staff. One of the things that we realized when Brenda and I was out there on the 10th is that the property was very dark. And it's my understanding that Carlos has come in and got an electrician and started doing additional lighting to...
We're going to install lights in every corner of every building with LED, so electricity is hopefully going to stay low to the expenses. Yeah.
So with the Neighborhood Watch meetings now happening every other month, and it is the winter months, we have an opportunity to be out there after hours when it's dark and can experience some of the things that we normally wouldn't experience because, you know, staff is gone at 5, 6 o'clock. So we're trying to be more sensitive to being out on the properties and getting more involved in the neighborhoods, picking up where Cassandra left off. And Sean.
Very good. Why aren't you doing solar lighting? Why are we doing electrical? Why aren't you doing the solar lighting? So that
I didn't think about that.
You know, we're trying to save money, you know.
That's a good
idea. And you get points from HUD.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Go green. Go green. Yeah.
Tax breaks. Solar lighting is awesome.
Yeah, that might be something to look into.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Resident Services Report. Okay. Now we're up to the resolutions. We got Resolution 14-1395.
I know you're tired of hearing from me. I'm sorry.
Don't keep talking.
You're doing a good job.
Okay. Well, you already know from open forum that we no longer have a finance manager, but this is a critical time for us. Because you have the five partnerships that have audited financials and taxes that have to be done. Bartow's taxes have to be done in January. They expect to have them completed no later than the 15th. The other four partnerships, you have to have those done in March. Also with HUD, you have your unaudited FDS for 2014. That has to be done by February 28th. And some of the coordination requires a CPA. Because they're just questions that you need a CPA for. Innovative Financial Housing Solutions has been the one that's been our financial advisor, and they did the recovery plan and did an audit of our finances. So they're the ones that's easy, it's able to jump in and do the audit, because right now we're closing out books, trying to make sure that we have all as many invoices processed as possible before year end. And all that information will be sent to Cone Resnick, who does the partnership financials, and Berman Hopkins, who does LHA's financials, to ensure that we meet those deadlines. And so we're asking that we be allowed to issue a task order 3 for $50,000 to have money in for both Cone Resnick and Berman Hopkins to be able to work directly with Ray Corey or Steve Nolan to actually get those financials addressed.
Will Brady be coming back on site here or working remote?
He could actually do it remotely because we're trying to, you know, eliminate travel costs. But if necessary, if they actually have to have a face-to-face to troubleshoot some issues, then we'll do that. But they've set up like a SharePoint drive where we can actually drop files into. And everything that we've done from January to October, staff is gathering right now to put it in, but it still needs that CPA's eye to look at it to make sure it's correct, nothing glaring. Because, again, they're independent auditors, so if we inadvertently send them something and it's not correct when we send it and it could trigger a finding, that's going to show up in your financials. So we definitely want to make sure we scrub them before and that they're correct before they get posted to the financial website. And then that'll give us also an opportunity, because we've been working to transition, work to the third-party fee accountant. We had talked to the firms that we were looking at. It was made clear that because they hadn't been involved with our financials, it would take more staff and more time for them to actually do it. So the Raise company is the cheapest route right now. And then
they're knowledgeable. They're familiar with our
financials.
So you go to what you know.
We don't want to change horses in the middle of the race.
I move that we approve resolution number 14-1395.
I second it.
Roll call. Discussion?
And this may not be at this point, are we going to go into a new search for a financial manager? At what point do you think we'll do that, or will we do that?
We'll probably downgrade the position again, and because we have a fee accountant. Because we had switched, because we told you that we wanted to be a fee accountant, because of what we saw as perceived skill set. That's why we reversed it, but as you said, you know, it didn't work out. And so we're going to go back for the fee accountant, and maybe bring in, like I said, an accountant.
Yeah, that's fine. I just didn't know if we were going to maybe continue with this route, but long term, or you know, actually get in house.
Until we get out of recovery.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
We're going to be going with the fee accountant, being in the lead role, and having, like say, an accountant, as opposed to, like say, having a finance manager that was the lead person.
Okay.
So going back to our original proposal that they had the fee accountant, you know, we had procured a fee accountant. Okay. We're basically going to bring that person in. And that's during the recovery period, and we'll evaluate it, you know, later on.
That makes sense.
Yeah, makes good. We didn't have to hit any severance or anything for him since he was there such a short term, right?
No.
Okay, yeah. I'm just asking. I didn't know what his contract was like, so I just didn't know if it might have anything. Okay, I didn't know. That's what I'm asking.
He was an employee.
Okay, I just didn't know.
And he was on, and like I said, he didn't make it through probation.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he was in a probation period.
Okay, and roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Hall?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 14-1395 passes. We're up to resolution 14.
Can I just ask one point of information? I didn't want to bring it up under the thing because I didn't want to muddy up the discussion. But we have two task orders outstanding with them right now. Task one and two, have they been completed and closed out, or we're still working under the $97,000 and the $40,000?
Well, the $97,000
is done.
Definitely closed out.
Okay.
And then I will have to check to make sure that the check's actually...
Okay, part of
that was transitioning the finance manager, but fortunately there were other staff because we talked about making sure that we had multiple people who could do the role. So some of the duties that the finance manager would have been doing, I was also being trained in, and there were other staff members. So at least we did get the transition. It's not like this.
Because I would assume from a financial and bookkeeping and auditing that we want to know when they close those out.
Right.
So there's no overlap.
That's correct.
So, or overruns by mistake. Okay, thank you.
Okay, resolution 14-1396.
Yeah, basically what this resolution here is, as you know, we're transitioning, still in recovery, and we basically had to let some key staff go, you know, called the cost constraints and the like. And what I would like to do is, like, make the LJ policy consistent with the HUD policy in terms of being able to, but currently, this any ex-employee had to wait, let's say, a year before they work as a consultant or something like that. And there's flexibility within the HUD program. Okay, so it's kind of less than $100,000 and less than a year. That person can work within a year. But LJ policy currently prohibits that. And what I wanted to do was just make LJ policy consistent with the HUD policy. And because there's enough flexibility within the federal guidelines where you don't have to do anything, you know, on the table, on the other or anything like that, because there's definitely enough flexibility to do what you need to do. And just wanted to make the LHA policy consistent with the federal policy, and that's all it is.
So the LHA policy was stricter, more stricter than the HUD. So we're now in line with HUD with this change.
Yes.
I noticed on the strike throughs, mm-hmm. that's what you're showing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're taking out of our policy.
Right. Yes. Okay. And then the next five will become four, five, six will become five, like, and so on.
Yeah.
Why are we doing just removing that one the paragraph, the one item?
Okay, I just want to make sure.
So this would permit, say, a maintenance person who's been terminated to be hired back to work on the grounds crew or something like that. Is that what you're saying?
If necessary.
That would be good.
If it was, like, say, an exec staff,
yeah.
if they were to say partner with the firm and we get RFP, and that exec, former exec could be a part of that consultant team mm-hmm. and work with LHA. Otherwise, they have to wait a year before they can.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
Some of the talent we lost may hook up with somebody that could be of service to us.
Exactly.
And this allows us to do it. Okay.
Exactly.
So it also opens up the door for that person that was terminated to also form a company on his own and come back and work.
If we wanted to.
If we approve it, right?
If we so desire.
We have to go through the procurement process.
we understand that, but from what you're saying, it opens up also.
And I prefer legal counsel provided there's no prohibitions against that particular individual. Mm-hmm. Right. That would be a good standard.
Still go through the
procurement process.
We don't take it personal.
So that person has been in good standing.
Exactly.
Even if you're working for another firm and that firm is hired in.
Yeah, they have to leave the house in good standing.
Okay. Yep. Mr. Gilmore, were you involved when we developed the initial? I know parts of it you were. I didn't know if this part you were part of.
This is long before you.
Well, it might have been while we were here, but we weren't involved in this aspect of changing personnel policy. We normally recommend that your personnel policy
mirrors
what it was. At least, if not more stringent. I mean, generally, that's the rule. And I guess in this case, they went more stringent.
Yeah, they were more stringent.
I didn't know if there was I didn't know if you might know any historical reason why we did it that
way. I don't know, unfortunately.
Okay, no, that's fine.
I figure if HUD, their policy says this, and it's good for them, it's good for us. I mean, they're spending out millions of dollars of tax dollars to figure these things out, you know, so I'm good with it, you know. So
do we need a motion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
we do.
Yeah. Second, we got a I'll double a motion.
I'll make a motion. We accept resolution 14-13-96 to go back in line with HUDs on this.
Do you have
second? Second.
Commissioner Smith seconded. So a roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Robinson.
Aye.
Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Hey, Commissioner Pimentel, I want to pass first. I agree with what you said maybe about this policy. I don't think that always holds true for HUD, but...
Listen,
I didn't want to muddy the water.
No, there's a lot of things that don't hold true for the feds, but hey, what are you going to do? We're sequestered right now. So what do you do? So 14-13-96 passes. So now we're up to the secretary. Secretary.
I made some revisions to the second page. Other than that, the report is submitted as written. When you take the second page here, I received some good comments from Commissioner Smith, and so I made those changes.
So we can get rid of page two?
Yes.
The original page two is gone.
Yes. Yeah, my change was like, you know, I called the City of Lincoln City Council, and it's actually the commission that's the proper name of that particular body.
Oh, okay. Lincoln City Commission. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then with agency plan, you know, it was approved by the board in October, and it says something otherwise. And so, yes, I'll do that.
Which bears out, semantics can be important.
The commission. Wow, that sounds important.
And you're a new board member of the Florida Housing Authority, Risk Management and Surety?
Yeah, I was elected
August.
In August, yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I did my first board meeting.
I remember saying that somewhere.
Yeah,
I Florida Housing Board. Now, where do they meet?
This is Farming. Which is an insurance company.
Wow. Including us.
Okay, we're up to the legal report.
Valerie gave my report.
I don't know.
She was giving everybody
a chance. Is that a 47% discount we received?
In that case, I got a report. No, as long as you don't have to hear something in the legal section, that's all good. So
that's good.
All efforts are on recovery.
Okay. No good news is good news. Now we're up to item 9, other business corrective action plan.
Submitted as written. There are no changes from the previous month. Okay.
There's also another business work.
The
public forum from last time, the last page.
Right. We're at the last page there.
Yes.
All the way to the back. I'll just say that, you know, one of the complaints was that we don't come to the property. And then we come, you know, we say we intimidate you. I'm sorry that you felt intimidated, but, you know, we tried to be respectful and address the concerns that were there. And so, and one that were outlined, you see that they're all there. And regarding our FSS, I did meet with her on this past Friday, and I advised her that we had some concerns about whether or not all of the...
But those concerns are okay. Personal okay. To her.
Okay. And, and that's what the delay is. And when those are resolved, you know, we'll do it.
Now, Commissioners, the only reason why I said that is I'm very sensitive to talk about resident personal business in an open forum. Now, if any of you want to know whatever the issues are and it's okay with her for it to be discussed with you all, then that can happen on a one-on-one with and ma'am, I hope you don't mind. It's not.
I'm good.
Okay.
The situation is, I don't know the full situation, but she has discussed it, I guess, with more than just one person on the board here. And I'd just like to know when could it be resolved? Is there a time period to resolve something like this? Could we look for a time period to be maybe within, I don't know what, how much finance we're talking about, or how dire straits she needs it.
But could it be resolved? All the thing I want to say is this. Is it that, and I said that to Ms. Hagen when I met with her. No one's going to intimidate me and try to force me to do something that violates federal regulations. Okay? You know, not this board, not any other board is going to force me to violate federal regulations. We're going to review, and then we'll respond. Okay? And that's what I told her. And so I'm sharing that with the board. And, you know, I told her we'll resolve it as quickly as we can. And, you know, we'll do that. will resolve in the next week or so. We'll do our best to make sure. I think it will be, and we'll try to make sure that happens.
My only question is that, not a question, just that the lighting still is hasn't been done because we're getting cost estimates, correct? Okay. Do we have any idea how soon that will be done?
I'm having issues finding an electrician, basically.
Okay.
And I talked to many people, including the contractor that we're using for this building, and he hasn't been able to find one, so we're still,
okay. And has the issue around the computer lab been resolved?
Yeah, that's what resolved the same day.
Because basically we're waiting for the contractor to basically put a place on the corner wall so that install something so that our IT can finish setting up the computer.
Okay.
And that was done.
Okay, so.
And most of them, you know, I think were done within a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing I'll just bring to her, because, you know, she made a statement that, like, you used to have money to do this, do that, a lot of things. And during the days of Hope 6, when money was flowing,
mm-hmm.
Hey, we would do a lot of things, you know, with drugs and with all the organizations.
Right.
Those days are gone. And we got to prioritize certain things. And one of the things that we agreed to was that if there's going to be a delay, you know, like for responding to a work order or something like that, it just doesn't let us know. I told them we have a good battle for them, and we'll try and do that. Mm-hmm. And as you all know, you know, we got a reduction in funding. It's all tied to funding.
Mm-hmm.
If we had the money, hey,
do it tomorrow.
Make a wish.
Yeah.
But for right now, you know, we just got to be cautious and careful with how we spend money.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate that. And just one other general comment is that we're all under additional stress because of what we're going through. But I think that respect works both ways, and I think that I hope that we will be respectful to the residents, and the residents will be respectful to us. And I think that's what we ask for, is that respect is important regardless of the issues. So we have to be respectful to each other. If we don't respect each other, then you're going to have problems. So just consider that everybody's under stress. So we'll still try to overlook that and be as respectful as we can.
Mr. Chair, unless there's something else on the other business, when you mentioned that 46% reduction, it caused me to want to say more in the meeting. I just wanted to say I hope everybody has a safe and blessed Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Well, then the meeting is.
I'm sorry. This is just a point, and I know we are slim on staff. I know we have had some reductions. I just noticed a trend on receiving our board packets.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting closer and closer to the board meeting. I think we had talked about at least trying to do a week.
We can advance.
I mean, and I know we're tight, so I'm not trying to be, but it is important because sometimes I know if I get it that late, I may have commitments where I'm not going to even be able to look at it. And it's just, I understand some of the circumstances, but I think we got it like at after 8 o'clock on Thursday night, emailed to us. And I was out of town Friday. I couldn't even come pick up the hard version. So I really didn't have access to look at it. I'm not trying to.
No,
I'm just trying to bring the concern up.
It's a lot of concern.
And I think the better we can prepare, which I think the better we can do our jobs.
Right.
And
it's a lot of concern. We'll do our best to try and do that.
And they're doing a great job. I mean, I see them emails coming out late. It's just and then whenever possible, if we could also make sure we don't receive documents at the meeting if we can get them at an earlier date. I mean, because I think really if we're going to review some, we should have the ability to review it before we actually get to a meeting, because sometimes we're under a gun and we may not make the best decision because we did not have time to review it. Thank you.
Okay. And with that, everyone have a wonderful holiday, a safe holiday. Stay dry. And you... cold weather, winds, this something, this is cold. Stay warm. Meeting is adjourned.
Cold weather. I don't know.
get down to 60, you got to put it on Carter.
I'm going up to I'm just going up to New York.
Meeting adjourned at 7:30 p.m.
My daughter's trying to get me up to Vermont.
Okay, Vermont. That's right, guys.